You may think, what on earth does that have to do with church? Well, we're going to look today about the topic of mind control and how the devil comes in and tries to affect the way that we look at life and the things going on around us. It's about, you know, mind control, but also it's about who controls the mind. Now, in my experience as a Christian, I know that the enemy doesn't play fair. He will lie. He will cheat. He'll do anything that he can do to stop us, to hold us back from what God's called us to do. Now, we know in Scripture it says that God has called us out, right? But yet the devil constantly tries to drag us back in. He tries to keep us away. And I think sometimes we as believers can go through life like Mr. Magoo. We're not aware of the world that's going on around us. And we need to get to the place where we can understand spiritual things and see what's really happening. Now, Mr. Magoo, it's a comical little thing. You can find old clips on YouTube. But, you know, he went through life not being able to see and doing the things that we just watched him do on the video. And I think that sometimes in life that we do the same thing. The scripture I want to look at today is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to verse 5, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." It says then that we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit to be working in our midst. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are the teacher. You're the revealer. You're the one that brings revelation knowledge to our lives. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words to both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, what I found out in life is you can't hit what you can't see. Simple as that. If we are unaware, if we can't see what's really going on and how Satan is trying to be the puppet master and trying to play with people's minds to get them to turn the wrong way and maybe even attack us or maybe even cause us to look at things wrong, then we get in trouble. Now, I myself used to have corrective lenses since the time I was in third or fourth grade. I can't remember exactly when it was. And what's the weird thing about it, in Little League, I was leading the team in hitting until I got my glasses. I guess I did better without them. But when I got them, evidently I could see everything better and I started batting worse. But anyway, that's another story in itself. But for those who have wear glasses, you know what it's like to go through life not being able to see. And when you put those glasses on for the first time, and all of a sudden you can see things that you never did see before. It's just amazing, isn't it? And I know for myself, when I moved to Denver, Colorado, I used to wear hard contact lenses. You had to take those out because they would scratch your eyes like crazy. I mean, I went through life with my eyeballs all scratched up. Those things were just hard on you. But soft lenses started to come out. And I remember the first day that I got the soft lenses, and that was the kind that you could sleep in all night. And I went to bed with those contact lenses. Now, I don't suggest that. I think it isn't good for your eyes to do so. But I remember waking up in the morning. I had a plant that hung from the ceiling. I can't remember the name of it. I'm not very good at that stuff. But for the first time in my life, when I woke up, I could actually see the veins running through them leaves of that plant. And I was just so amazed on how much I miss out on not be able to see. And I think as a Christian, sometimes we go through the same thing. Now, praise God for technology. I had LASIK done about 10 years ago, And I calculated out what bifocals and all that stuff was going to cost me in the next 20 years. And to me, it was a good idea, and I did that. And, you know, I love being able to wake up and to be able to see things and not have to go through life like that. Now, if you always have had good eyes, and this is hard for you to understand, maybe go out and stare at the sun a while and then put a pair of sunglasses on. Maybe you'll get the same effect. I don't know. But we go through life sometimes like Mr. Magoo as a Christian. We bump into things and we see things, but we don't really see it. We don't really understand what it is going on around us, on how the spiritual affects the natural. Because that's what's happening. There is a spiritual world around us that we sometimes cannot see. Now, in the gifts of the Spirit and things like that, there's discerning of spirits, and you know, God may open our eyes, or maybe some of you have dreams from time to time, and they're spiritual dreams, and God reveals some things to us. But primarily, we need to get to the place where we can start to understand, because what happens sometimes is we live our life, we're going through life and going through the motions, and we're doing so many things, and we forget that spiritual world that is actually affecting us. And it is affecting us. How Satan doesn't play fair. Now, he goes and he tries to speak lies into our life to get us to doubt God, to get us to be hurt, to get us to be affected by all the things so that we can never live up to our full potential. And once we're aware of that and we can see how he works, and then we can start to walk in a level of freedom. Now, I don't go overboard and believe there's a demon under every rock. I believe I do stupid stuff too, you know what I'm saying? Some of the bad things that happened maybe is because maybe I made a wrong choice. But I do know for sure that as sure as I know that there is a God in heaven, there is a devil, and he has a lot of helpers down here on earth. And they're trying to affect Christians and hold us back from being able to achieve God's focus on what he wants us to do in this world. Now, we walk in the flesh, the Bible says, but we need to live in the Spirit. And that's another message in itself, how we can be led by the Spirit, how we can live in the Spirit. You know, all these things are necessary that we learn that. But next I want to look at the idea of how we are able. We are able. Now here's what happens sometimes. We sell ourselves short. We don't think that we can function in the capacity that God has called us to function. We don't feel that we have the gifts and talents that are required to accomplish the things that God has called us to do. But I want to tell you today that that's mind control of the devil. He's trying to hold you back, because here's how it works. God has put something inside of you, gifts and talents, and he wants you to be able to function with those gifts and talents. And he's given you all the ability. He poured all his ability into you that you need to accomplish what he's called you to do. You have no lack. Now, granted, there is some development phase that needs to happen. You need to step out in faith. You need to start to exercise these gifts and try to grow in them. That's the practical side of it. But I never want us to think that God has called us to do something that he has never given us the ability to do. It says that the word powerful is one of the words in this passage. The word powerful means to be able. We are able. We are more than able that God's called us. Next word there I want to just kind of brush upon is the word warfare. That's talking about the ability to lead an army. So the weapons of our warfare are powerful. So God has given us what we need to be able to wage war against the enemy. But you say, Pastor, Jesus defeated Satan. I know. Just because you beat somebody up doesn't mean they have to quit fighting back, right? You know, Satan's been defeated. But he doesn't quit. He still thinks he can win. And we have to understand the fact that just because Jesus defeated him doesn't mean that you and I can just roll over and play dead and just wait till Jesus comes. Because he's given us the ability. He's made us able to wage warfare. Because here's what's at stake. Souls. Souls are at stake. There's a lot of people, and the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded them. People that you love, people that I love, are not living for Christ right now. And if we are a believer, then we need to accept the responsibility to be able to try to liberate them, to try to bring them out of darkness through prayer, through living our life and loving on them, but also understanding that there might be demonic forces at play. The God of this world, meaning Satan, is blinded their eyes so they can't see. Now, I don't know about you, but I was blind at one time. I still have blind spots. Everybody knows what a blind spot is, right? We all have blind spots. And that's why we need each other. That's why we don't need to go hide in some monastery and try to live out our faith. No, we need to mingle with other believers. We need to hook up with other believers. So because iron sharpens iron, we rub off on each other and we help each other. And that's what helps us to be strong. And more things can be revealed to our life. Now, as we understand that Satan's been defeated, he just hasn't thrown in the white flag yet and thrown in the towel. Now, he must have... I'll be honest, I think he was dropped on his head as a spiritual baby, right? Because he still thinks he can beat God. Now, I don't know about you. Nobody can beat God. But that doesn't mean he's going to quit trying. Now, what happens, this is what I want to get to. It talks about these fortresses. Now, in the picture that I have chosen for the slide, you can kind of see rock walls there that have been built. And as they used to build these things, it was a lot of manual labor. Each stone was carried and meticulously placed in a spot that it would fit, and they would continue to do that to build the wall. And see, that's what's happened in our life. The God of this world, Satan, has meticulously, rock by rock, or thought by thought, placed these thoughts into our minds to get us to believe a certain way that is contrary to God's word. Now, that is something that we need to deal with. Because what happens, it happens with this brick upon brick. And what it is that what I want us to see today is that profiles have been established in our mind. Now, what I want to say by that, and I've touched on this a little bit, is that you and I will interpret information and act on that information based on the way that we think. Case in point, if you were abused in a relationship, you've been hurt, maybe bad things have happened to you, and everybody has some bad things happen. Nobody's exempt, right? Well, maybe your situation was worse than others. All right. Well, now you're a little bit gun shy. So when somebody tries to get close to you, somebody wants to be your friend or to get into a relationship with you, you keep them far away. Why? Because in your thought processes, as you've learned, anybody you let get close to you hurts you. You may be unaware that you think that way, right? But nevertheless, that's causing us to think a certain way. You know, I remember my great-grandma, and I've shared this before, is that she went through the Depression. So I remember her speaking into my life, you know, you're going to have some lack, you got to be careful, you know what I mean, all that stuff as a little kid. She'd went through hard farming and all that stuff and went through the depression and all these things. And, you know, so that thought pattern was established in my mind as a child. And see, I had to get into the Word of God to start to unravel that mess. It's like a ball of yarn, all in knots. And these thought processes have been established in our life, and it causes us to interpret that information. Now, many of you probably watch some police shows. You know, how do they catch some serial killers or different killers or different criminals? Everybody has a method of operation that they operate by. And if these forensic psychologists or whatever these people are, these psychologists, they start to interpret how somebody acts, they can figure out their next move. Well, see, that's what the devil's doing to us. He has these lies that's been put into our mind. And it's causing us to think and to look at life a certain way. I apologize for those of you who are just jumping into this new. I got to think we're kind of going into some heavier information. I don't want to scare anybody, thinking that the devil controls your mind. I'm just saying you're under the influence. Has anybody ever been under the influence? Oh, don't raise your hand. I don't want to judge you. Amen. I have. I was under the influence. When I was under the influence of something else, it changed the way I acted. And this is what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to get us under his influence so that we can look at things, you know, maybe the wrong way. So, again, that's how police, you know, check, they profile. And, you know, we live our life based on our way of thinking. That's why some people are Ford Chevy, right? Some people are, you know, Batman, Superman, right? You know, they think of things a certain way. We're all just a little bit different. And we're affected, you know, and that's how we look at life. And that's how we're going to, and what really we can tell if we're operating in the life of God or we're not. See, it's easy to act, but it's how we react is how we really tell. Because it's our reaction to problems is how we tell if we've been influenced by negative thinking or wrong thinking by the devil. If we're not responding in faith to God's word and he says what he says he's going to do, then we have to be careful. We need to unravel that mess. Brick by brick, we need to take that wrong thinking out and start to put back in some proper thinking. The way that God wants us to think. See, God doesn't want us to think like a victim. He wants us to think like a victor. But to see, if we've been a victim in our life over and over again, then it's only natural when we go into tough situations, we play the victim card. Because that's who we are. We think we are. That's who we think we are. I'm a victim. I'm a victim. I'm a victim. Instead of I'm a victor. I'm a victor. I'm a victor. And see, it's only by unraveling and reestablishing a new foundation, you know, through Jesus Christ, and then thought upon thought, start to build the wall again, start to make the case for faith in our life so that we can walk in a greater level of victory and honor to God. So, with saying that, we know that the battle is for the mind. The battle's for the mind. And little by little, the devil has tried to establish those thought patterns. Now, like I said, we're not aware of those happening. Sometimes, you know, we have a lot of cultural things that you and I bring into our faith. You know, remember when Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 14, they were preaching the gospel to the Greeks. And as they were preaching, all of a sudden the people said, hey, this must be, you know, Zeus and I can't remember if it's Hermes or whatever. See, they interpreted because they had their Greek mythology. And when they seen these guys, you know, preaching and doing things, well, they figured that must be who it is. They had their own culture perspective as they approached Christianity. And Paul and Barnabas had to kind of unravel that and straighten it out and say, no, we are not part of that. We, you know, we serve the true living God. And see, that's what we have to do as we go through this process. And that's where discipleship comes into fact. And that's why here at the church, we're trying to do a lot of different things. You know, we've done the Alpha course. We're doing the Freedom class. You know, we have the Wednesday night Bible study with discipleship. We're trying to do these things because little by little, we're trying to unravel some of the complicated things in our life, you know, that you and I are going through so that we can respond in a proper Christian way. Now, some other lies that have been spoken into our life because of our culture. You know, with free will comes free choices, right? Many choices, because you have a free will. No, that's a lie. There's only two choices, life and death. That's what God says. You know, life is one choice through God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Ghost. Or you can choose death. And that's all this other stuff that's, you know, put in one pile that leads us away from him. But see, that's woven into the fabric of our culture. That I'm free, I can do anything I want. No. We are created by God. Yes, he gave us the right to choose, but yet there's only two choices, life and death. And whichever one we choose, that's what we live by. You know, we're in this world, but not of it. That's what Jesus said. And also it says in the scripture that where our citizenship is in heaven. So, what does that tell me? Our citizenship is in heaven. You know, we have dual citizenship. You know, all of us here, probably American, right? Passport. Says your birth certificate. You're born in America. Maybe thinking born in the USA, that song, right? Well, then our other passport, our real passport that's going to get us into heaven, says that we're a citizen of heaven. Okay, now, here comes the rub. How many know that our culture in America has certain sets of rules and regulations it lives by? Also, the Bible has certain sets of rules and regulations that it lives by. So, what we have to do is figure out which ones are what and what it is that we're going to do. It's a higher calling to live by God's rules. Now, when we live by God's rules, that's our choice, that's our conviction, that's what we're to do. But we also have to understand that in our nation, there's certain rules and regulations that people have the free will to go do what they want, right? So we can't, you know, legislate morality per se. All we can do is preach the good news that there's a better way. And that's through Jesus Christ. And in the life of Christ and what he does, it's a life-changing experience. And Jesus comes to live inside of us and makes us a new person. And we get that fresh start in life. And I don't know about you, but that was a good deal for me. I encourage everybody to take advantage of that offer. Because what happens trying to do is that when we choose to live by the world's standards instead of God's standards, Satan is trying to rob our identity because we're a child of the King. Now, how many have had children, and they're such sweet kids, man, so well behaved? I mean, my gosh, you could put a children's book and write it about them. Well, then you let them go stay with somebody else for a weekend or so, and they come back just like little demons, huh? You got to retrain them, right? What happened? They lost their family identity. They went and lived by another family's identity, where they maybe could stay up and eat ice cream all night and, you know, French fries and, you know, just make a mess and leave it lay. Where in your house, you know, they eat broccoli, you know, and cauliflower, and they pick up after themselves. That'd be a beautiful house, wouldn't it? Nobody has one of those, probably. But you see what I mean? They lost their identity. And we can lose our identity when we live in the world and start acting like the world and we forget that we're a child of the King. We become like the prodigal and eat with the pigs when all the time we had everything at our disposal we could have. Because my daddy owns a lot of stuff. Amen? Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So our God is more than able. So how do we win? I want to give us a couple points on how we can win this thing. Number one, we need to really start about the idea of destroying these speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of Christ. That's what the Bible says we're going to do. And that's our warfare. That's our strategy. The word warfare is actually talking about strategy too. You know, you got to have a plan. We have to have a plan in life, what we want to do. What I found out is you got to know the truth before you can really find out what the lie is. When I first came to Jesus Christ, I had a lot of weird thinking in me. You know, some stuff that were part biblical, part American, part sci-fi. You know what I'm saying? You know, I had some different ways of interpreting information until I came to Jesus Christ, went and bought a Bible, started to read it, started to go to church, started to try to pay attention, amen? Started to write stuff down, look it over, you know, check it out for myself. So we need to destroy them speculations. So brick upon brick has to be torn down of them lies that the enemy told us. And then brick upon brick has to be re-put back in that Jesus Christ says in his word. Because number one, I guess I should have led with this, is you have to believe the Bible is true. If you believe that the Bible is this written by men, then it's a moot point. You have to believe that the Bible is infallible, that is the Word of God and is absolute final authority in your life. Because that's the problem with our culture. There is no absolute authority anymore. They've tried to kick God out of everything, kick God's Word out of everything. So now everybody does what they feel is right. And I'll be honest, what you feel is right is different than what I feel is right. Right, Scott? Yeah. I mean, we're different, you know. Same with Michael, same with Debbie, anybody. We don't maybe see things exactly the same, so if we all just do what we want, then it's just total chaos. But if we all come in and say, hey, all right, God's Word, final authority, okay, then we got something we can build on. Once we establish that, then you can start to build on that foundation, because the Word is the foundation. So then it's brick after brick after brick you're putting in, and you're trying to build that thing. Because what happens is that these old fortresses that have been established in our life that cause us to think wrong, we have to take the Word of God catapult to them. How many like those old movies where they shoot them old catapults and make those things and boom, just throw big rocks at the fortress, you know, and they break down the walls, you know? And that's what we have to do with the Word of God, because the Bible says the Word of God is like a hammer that breaks the rock. And see, that's what can... See, we are able, people. God's Word has the power to transform us and to change us, but we have to be of the perspective or persuasion that, number one, we need to see that we need changed. Now, you can go through life and have a dabble of Christianity and probably get to heaven, or you can walk in freedom and authority while you're here on earth waiting for Jesus to come or you to go to be with Him. And I will tell you this, it's better to walk in authority. You know, when you know that you know that you know that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world, the devil gets really nervous. Really nervous. He doesn't like it when a Christian actually knows who they are and what they have in life. Because they're going to be dangerous to him. Because they're going to go out and they're going to start to liberate people and set them free. We need to stop valuing information over transformation. We live in an information age where it seems like we measure ourselves by how much we know. But really it's not about how much we know, it's how much we do when it comes to the things of God. There's a lot of people that knows a lot about God, but they don't really act on it. That's why the Bible says you got to be a doer, not just a hearer. So that's how we get that transformational change. You know, Satan, as we know, has infiltrated our colleges and schools. In subtle ways, that movie God's Not Dead was a great example. I think that's the name of it. If you've never seen that movie, it's a real good movie. But those, you know... Parents, we need to have our kids prepared. We need to prepare them before when they go away so they understand the concepts of what it means to have a relationship with God. Because when you go there, you're going to get challenged. I remember I prayed to Jesus every night. But when I went to school here and had biology class, you know, I'll be honest, some of that stuff I was taught about evolution, it was taught in a way that it was absolute truth. It started me to doubt my faith in God. Now, it was my own fault. I never really went to church as a kid. I chose not to. And my parents, you know, didn't make me, you know, which hindsight, I wish they had. Probably would have saved me some issues in my life going on. But, you know, that thinking, you know, caused me to believe I was either from a monkey or I even went to the place where, you know, I thought, well, you know, the monkey thing was a big stretch for me. I'll be honest. They didn't really get me on that one. But then I got to thinking about aliens. Maybe I came from an alien race, you know, because, you know, I've always been said I was a little weird, so maybe, you know. So, but I'll be honest, those lies, when you think those, when you entertain those, it robs your faith, right? Because it's a lie. It's holding us back. So, Satan's infiltrated. That's why we need to prepare him. Now, how do we do it? We take every thought captive. The word captive means to be brought into subjection. We need to bring these thoughts into subjection, meaning you need to evaluate these thoughts. When these thoughts go through your mind, and you live with yourself, right? I hope you do. If you're not, you're dead, right? You live with yourself. So you know what you're thinking. You know how you think. You know, and I think if you started to to pay attention to what you're thinking about. It might change, you know, how you look at things. No, you know, just right now, think about what you're thinking about. Think about that for a minute. Isn't that something? Think about it. What are you thinking about? You wish this was over. Okay, I got that one. I heard that in the spirit. What else? But think about what you're thinking about. If you're having a bad marriage, thinking about have a good one. If you're thinking about doubting God, think about how faithful He is. You know, all these things. We've got to start thinking about good things. We can't think about the things that are bad and wrong in our life. Because if we do that, we're going to start to gravitate towards that way. Now, I found that whatever I think about becomes bigger in my life. Because I'm thinking about it, making a mountain out of a molehill. And I think we've done that before, haven't we? You know, sometimes we misinterpret the information. You know, somebody might have said something and we all of a sudden read into it, oh, they're mad at me, they don't like me, da-da-da-da, all this. So we're starting to think about it and making that thing bigger it is because, you know, whatever thing we think about comes more in focus, right? We start to focus on it. It starts to be larger than us, and that's why we need to be careful. So, piece by piece, we need to dismantle that wrong thinking. And we all have different parts in our life that need to be reestablished by the Word of God. And that's something that you and God's going to have to get the loan on and start to cipher out. If you start by asking Him to help you, that's a thing. And what I like to say is that it needs to be a daily thing. And the reason why it needs to be daily is because daily you and I are being bombarded by the lies of the devil. The cultural lies that come into our life that, you know, as a parent, if we tell our kids that if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you do it? But as a parent, we need to say the same thing to ourselves. Just because everybody else is doing this, is this really what God wants for my life? Right? That's a valid point. So we need to have a daily connection with God, however you do that, whether it be through enjoying worship, reading the Word, prayer, all these things. You need to be a faithful attender to church. I would even encourage you to do a Wednesday night connection, maybe a small group if we get some of those going, all these things, because it helps us to grow faster. It helps us to reestablish, because we need people in our corner, you know, with like precious faith, because we're all fighting a common enemy. Let's pray.